From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns has spent considerable time dealing with Chapter 3. Today, he begins an examination of Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will focus on the main purpose of Romans, which is to answer the question which Job posed long ago: how shall a man be just with God? Paul had no sooner answered the question than various people began raising objections. As we'll see, there is only one answer to this most paramount of questions. Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners." In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message called Nothing to Boast About. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled His Kindness and Covenant. The text is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. One of the most delightful qualities of divine love is its abiding character. The pillars of the earth may be moved out of their places, but the kindness and the covenant of our merciful Jehovah never depart from His people. How happy my soul feels in a firm belief of this inspired declaration! The year is almost over, and the years of my life are growing few. But time does not change my Lord. New lamps are taking the place of the old. Perpetual change is on all things, but our Lord is the same. Force overturns the hills, but no conceivable power can affect the eternal God. Nothing in the past, the present, or the future can cause Jehovah to be unkind to me. My soul, rest in the eternal kindness of the Lord, who treats thee as one of near kin. Remember also the everlasting covenant. God is ever mindful of it. See that thou art mindful of it too. In Christ Jesus, the glorious God has pledged himself to thee to be thy God, and to hold thee as one of his people. Kindness and covenant, dwell on these words as sure and lasting things which eternity itself shall not take from thee.
Oh, tell it on the mountain. that on the mountain.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
It's good to be back, and I trust the Lord will bless our studies in the book of Romans. As we continue, we come tonight to chapter 4. Chapter 4. We're reading only the first 5 verses of this chapter together. But perhaps we should read the first 8, though we'll only be dealing with the first 5. Tonight, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, He hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. You will remember that in this epistle, Paul is really expounding the simple gospel. He's going to the heart of the gospel. And in doing so, he is answering the greatest question that can ever engage the mind of any man. That's the question that Job asked many centuries ago. And a question that was asked again by one of his very poor supposed friends and counselors, who asked with him, How shall a man be just or righteous with God? How shall a man be just with God? Now that's the question of all questions. I know there are many times when preachers preach upon the great questions of Scripture and they say this is the most important question. And from a certain point of view you can see why they say it. For example, what shall I do with Jesus? You may say to a certain class of people, that's certainly the most important question. What think ye of Christ? Under other circumstances that has been introduced as life's most important question. But getting down to the basics, undergirding even those, there is this question, without an answer to which there is no meaning even to the other questions. How shall a man be just with God? Now let me step right out on a limb against all the notions of modern religionists and say there is only one answer that's correct to that question. Some weeks ago I got a special edition of U.S. News and World Report. I think that's the magazine. They turn out these special editions on certain subjects. And one was on religion in America. One of the questions that they asked was to find out how many people thought that their religion, and I'm using that in a broad sense, obviously, they meant your belief system, your theology, your gospel, your God, your Christ. How many believed that this is the only way to God, and the only way of salvation, that this is right and none other is right. And even among those who profess to be saved, it's amazing the number of people who think it very tolerant to say, while they think theirs is better, it's not the only way. Let me tell you, to this question there's one answer. And only one. It's an answer that is not discovered by human investigation. It's an answer that is not arrived at by taking some mystical journey into meditation. It is an answer that must come, if it comes at all, by divine revelation, because obviously, when you get to the heart of the matter, the only one who can say without any shadow of doubt how a man may be just and acceptable to God must come from God himself. And that's what he gives us in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments, and especially here in the book of Romans. Paul's great work is to expound God's answer to the question, how can a man be just with God? That's what Romans is all about. Now, when you consider that, it comes as something of a shock, and yet it shouldn't, that it's clear from how Paul writes this book that the very people who desperately needed God's answer as to how they may be just with him violently opposed the answer when it was given. You remember writing to the Corinthians, the apostle, Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. So much for the light that's in everybody, as we have often been told. So much for the ability of human reason to respond to divine revelation. So much for the notion that there's something good in every man just waiting to respond to the truth of God. Neither can he know them. In theology, that is the doctrine of total inability. You have twin doctrines regarding fallen man. Total depravity. Not only is there none good, but there's nothing good about anyone. And consequent upon total depravity, total inability to spiritual good. Man is not a spiritual cripple. Man is a spiritual corpse. And there's a world of difference. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. If I were preaching in that text tonight, there's a whole lot of things I would like to say about it. But it would take me too far afield from Romans chapter 4. It gives you an insight into why certain religions appeal to the hearts and minds and feelings and susceptibilities of men, while there is an unwillingness to hear the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ in all its purity and in all its simplicity. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's nowhere more clearly evident than here in the book of Romans. Think of how Paul writes this. You remember when we were in chapter 3, we noted that Paul had to deal with a series of objections that either had been raised or were likely to be raised by some Jews especially against what he was preaching. Objections and indeed deliberate perversions of his doctrine that apart from the grace of God, all men, Jews as well as Gentiles, are under the judgment of God for their sin, and that they may be justified by that grace only through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that stirred up a hornet's nest. The objectors were coming out of the woodwork. They said, according to you then, the Jews are no better off than the Gentiles. And yet you say, what advantage hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. You're either a contradictor or a liar. According to you, the Jews are no better off. Then they went even further. They said, according to you, you're destroying the faithfulness and the very righteousness of God. Not only do you make God unrighteous, but you're teaching men that they may do evil in order to glorify God and that good may come. Now, in order to reach those conclusions, you had to twist Paul's doctrine tighter than a corkscrew. But they were willing to do that. They were playing church politics. Paul was interested in eternal truth. So he had this series of objections. You find the same in chapter 6. And if we ever get as far as chapter 6, you'll see this is a very, very important verse after his great exposition of the whole doctrine of justification. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, here's another objection coming. Your doctrine of a free justification, apart from all human works, apart from all input of man's personal effort or personal holiness or personal righteousness, justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ, that doctrine promotes sinful living. Have you ever heard this? I've heard it about the doctrine of election, and I've heard it about the doctrine of justification. Well, if you say that God has chosen his people, and then if I'm elect, I can live like the devil. It doesn't matter what way I live. If I'm elect, I'm going to heaven anyway. That's the way you think, you're bound for hell. I can tell you that right now. If that's the way you think, there's not the shadow of a mark of grace about you. Don't make God's election the cover for your corruption. And then I've heard it about this doctrine of justification. Well, if you're saying that I'm saved quite apart from whatever I do, then I can do what I like. Of course, that's the very point. If what you like is hellish and sinful and wicked and Christless and dark and against God, then you know your spiritual state. We'll get to that, I trust, sometime, but you see, Paul is again dealing with an objection. People were not really flocking to hear this gospel and embrace it, especially more religious ones about them. You find the same in chapter 9 and verse 14. What shall we say then? Now he's in chapter 9, he's dealing with very deep doctrine, the doctrine of God's eternal predestinating electing grace, which is meant to be, first of all, a glorious statement of the majesty of our God. And it is meant also to be a great comfort to the people of God. Read in context, Romans chapter 9 is one of the most beautiful and uplifting and refreshing statements in Scripture that will inject certainty into the heart of a believer. And yet, as soon as he does this, up comes the objection. The God you're preaching is unrighteous. Find the same in chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? This is the slander that was being thrown in Paul's face. According to you, God is fickle. He's changeable. He chose Israel and then he unchose them. He took them and then he threw them away. You have the audacity to talk about an eternal purpose. The God you're preaching is a God who is whimsical and changeable. Has God cast away his people? He's taking up the objection. Now, it's not my purpose tonight to go into all the objections. I'm simply showing you that there's one answer to the question of how to be just with God. It comes from God. It's most fully expounded for us here in the Epistle to the Romans. And yet, on the very surface of this epistle, you have the evidence that even at its first giving, through the lips of an inspired apostle who had miraculous powers constantly being manifested to support what he was saying, even then it was coming under attack and it was coming under human rejection.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.